This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Producer Pete, he's back with us tonight. I don't know if I want to guess. Pete and I have been friends for a long time, but I feel like I could go either way with Pete as a good news or bad news first person. I'm going to go, you're a bad news first person, but I'm guessing.
Yes.
You're a bad news first too?
Yeah.
Why? What's the philosophy behind hearing the bad news first?
Then the only way it goes up.
All right. Now, see, I'm the other way in that the good news softens the blow of the bad news. Ryan's still there in the control room. Ryan, are you good news or bad news first person? Bad news first. He gives me the thumb down. Okay, interesting. I don't know if that's a gender thing. It's a very small sample size, but all three males that I'm asking this question of have gone bad news first to get it out of the way, maybe. I guess I can understand that, but I do generally err on the side of good news. I feel like we should put that out on the social media stratosphere. I suppose we could do poll form, or we could just ask people, are you a good news or a bad news first person? So there's good news and bad news at the DMV on Wednesday, which is why I'm bringing it up. The good news is I survived. Now see there, I bring my good news first. I survived. I got my new license. Now temporary, they have to mail the actual card to me, but I did get my new license with a new photo. Also good news, Pete, the first photo was god awful. It was worse than mugshot quality, as in worse. I looked like not just a felon, but I looked like I had an Adam's apple. So it was bad. I looked like a male felon. It was really bad.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah, the camera was so zoomed in on me. I'm not sure I've ever seen such a close up photo for a DMV pic. But anyway, the lady was very nice. As opposed to the lady who was maybe three windows down from me, who was first of all cursing and then crying, my experience was...
the customer, the attendant.
Three windows down, the lady was pitching a fit. She was yelling, cursing, and then started crying.
That's me.
Yeah, I was a little bit worried that was going to happen, I don't know, all around me, crying and yelling breaking out, but it was just an isolated incident. So I was able to get a new photo. She told me I could smile a little bit. So I did. I smiled just slightly. I managed to get both my license with a new name change. So that was kind of the point of going. My license was set to expire in April on my birthday. But because I already have my name change with the federal government, I needed to follow up with New Jersey. So I did. And then while I was there, Pete, I had an epiphany. I wonder if I can also get my registration changed right now, which she allowed me to do. She didn't send me back to the back of the line. She said, sure,
all right,
Here's another form to fill out. So I did that. And then while I was answering a series of questions on their little touchpad, it asked me if I wanted to also change my voter registration. So I did that. Now, too late for this recent election, but all three of those things changed. Here's the bad news. Are you ready? Now, this is the part where people break out in hives. I walk in. There's no line. No joke. I've never seen the DMV like this before. I walk right through the door. No line at the counter. He gives me a little form to fill out and says, okay, then you go stand in the line to the left of the pole. How many people do you think have no idea what that means? Is there like
a lot of people
standing there? Yeah. So he says, go to the line at the left of the pole. I do. It's called ID check. Oh, ominous music. I felt a little bit like I was hearing the Imperial March, the Darth Vader, that something was going to happen and I was going to lose a hand or I was going to get into that forced chokehold. Anyway, I get up to the counter and I'm not kidding you. This is what's happening behind the counter. The lady's not even really paying attention to me because apparently a previous customer, maybe the one who had been pitching the fit, she was up at the counter with a new marriage license asking to change her name. But here's the crux. This is what they were all like about. They had no record of a divorce decree for the woman. So they had two marriage licenses, but no divorce record of her anywhere. And so she wanted to change her name again, but they had no record that she'd ever gotten divorced from the first dude. Oh. Yeah. And so I'm not sure if that's what the screaming and crying was about a few windows down. And I'm not joking. The lady was cursing and then she was crying.
Yeah.
And it was loud enough that it was echoing all over the entire warehouse room. So the two biddies, actually three, behind the window, and they were younger than me too. So I don't know, just gossipy, like dit. And so I'm handing her my ID requirements. And Pete, I'm not joking. This morning, I went through every single piece of paperwork I had. I'm pulling things out. Marriage license, yes. New social security card, yes. But then all these other things, a bill, a bank statement, a mortgage statement, social security paperwork, like all these things. And then as I'm getting ready to leave, I think, oh, you know what? Birth certificate. That's what I need. That will wipe all these other forms of identification off the table. I go. I rifle through my filing system. I find my birth certificate. I get up to the window. I'm so proud of myself. I've got all my array of documents. I think I had, forget 6 points. I had 27 points. So I got all my documents out. She opens up my birth certificate. She looks at it. She looks at it. Is this a copy? I was thrown for a loop. Well, yes, it is a copy. And she said, no, you have to have the original. My mouth drops open.
Mm.
I don't have the original. I don't have the original. Oh, I'm sorry. You have to have the original. So then she tells me you're going to have to come back with the original. And in that moment, I'm thinking, you've got to be kidding me. I have 37 forms of ID here. I have every single bit of proof that I need. And you can't take a copy of the birth certificate. Don't ask me why. But regardless. So she said to me, well, your real ID, you can't get it without the birth certificate, but you can do everything else today. So I'm thinking I have to come back and pay again for a new license in April, but it's not that way. They actually renewed the license, so all I have to do is go back at sometime in the spring with the actual birth certificate and then pay the $11. There's another $11 and get it transferred to a real ID. So it was relatively seamless except for that. But in that moment, my stomach dropped. No, I came all the way over here. I got up early, like 2 hours before I normally wake up. My coffee was stashed in my bag, by the way. So it was in a covered mug and you're not supposed to take food and drink. I felt like I was an alcoholic, like hiding my beverage because when no one was looking, I stuck my face down in my bag and took a couple sips of my iced coffee.
What is she doing?
Exactly. So the lady also said to me, I think she was really caught up in the whole marriage license thing. I show her mine. She's like, where's this from? I've stopped short of saying, well, Texas, like it says on the top of the paper. And she said, this is the weirdest marriage license I've ever seen. Huh.
I'm not here for your commentary.
Right. Thank you, Peanut Gallery. What does that have to do with anything? So twice, just to be an instigator, because I was not having it. Why? Why is it so weird?
Uh-huh.
Oh, no. She ignored me because she was too busy talking about the other lady who had two marriage licenses and no divorce decree. So, yeah, I survived the DMV. You know that Facebook notification where you mark yourself safe from a particular... Blah, blah, blah? Yeah, I marked myself safe from the DMV.
All right.
Yes. So there's good news and there's bad news.
See, I'd rather hear that bad news first.
Oh, sorry. Well, I hit you with the good news first.
But it's not that, it wasn't that bad of a news.
Oh, it's not that bad to you because you don't have to go back to the DMV in 6 months.
That's right.
Here's the other good news, though. Well, sort of bad news, but also good news. The bad news is I don't have the original birth certificate, but thankfully, my mom texted me this evening. Well, so this is funny. I call my mom as I'm walking out of the DMV. Her first question, what did you forget? She didn't even say hello. Hi, Amy. How are you? It was, what did you forget? I said, well, funny you ask. I'm pretty sure you have the paperwork that I need. So she and her husband went and looked for it because they have a filing system as well. And she texts me. She texts me this evening. We found your birth certificate, ... and a lock of your hair with a little heart emoji. And I'm thinking, all right, I don't believe the DNA on that is going to help me get my license. But great, at least we also have a lock of my hair.
Anyway. That's I wonder what would happen if they didn't have the birth certificate.
That's what I was asking. I said to my husband, there've got to be people who do not have their birth certificates.
Oh, you could probably go and get another original.
What, go to the original hospital?
Another original copy.
The funny part is, like, there are people out there who were either born at hospitals that they're nowhere near. For instance, I was actually born in Peru, Illinois. So I'm not going to Illinois to get a birth certificate. But also, I have a family member who was born at a hospital that's no longer there.
Right.
So what do you do then?
It has to be through the state or through the federal government, I would think, to make a new original copy.
So when your wife, when you guys got married, which was what, 5 years ago, 6 years ago?
2018. Sorry.
We'll just pretend like
my numbers
that didn't happen, Bridget.
It's been a bad week for numbers.
It's week 11 in the NFL.
That's right.
So when you went through that whole process, what... I heard that there are these actual guides that you can buy online, the step-by-step process of changing your name, because this is just the first start. I've done Social Security card, so in the eyes of the federal government, I'm good. But I had to get a license in between plane tickets, right? So I couldn't buy plane tickets in my legal last name and then go on to change my name, because at the time, obviously, my name was something else legally. So I had to wait till we had no more plane tickets. So now that I've done driver's license, registration, voter registration, I was thinking I still have the deed to my house. I've got our company here, 401k, the union, my banks. Like,
it takes a while.
Where do I start? Do you guys have any insight into this process?
I think the best way to do it is the best way to do it is kind of how we did it, and that's do it as we go along.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So as you needed to access particular records,
because my wife in school,
she's a teacher,
we
right?
We try to keep her maiden name. So just for...
Okay, gotcha. So you didn't change it everywhere?
Not everywhere. For me, it was more of when we moved, changing the addresses. Oh, that's bad.
Well, that's what this feels like.
Yeah.
That's what this feels like. So one of my husband's sons got married this year also, and his new wife said that she actually found a kit online that you can pay for, $30, something along those lines, and you go step, 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 and it does it for you. So I need to reach out and ask her, because that sounds like it's much more headache-free. It's like going to the post office, and you fill out the form, you pay whatever. I haven't moved in a while, but you fill out the form, and they actually let all of your various vendors and creditors and debtors know all that thing. But I don't know if it's that easy in this case. I think in a lot of cases, like, for instance, with our company as well as the union, I have to fill out paperwork. So you can't just do it online. They won't allow you to do that, which means, what are they going to ask for the original copy of my marriage license? There's only one.
Yeah. I think step by step as I went along and things I needed to change, I changed them. That's how I did it.
The next thing would be the passport. And I don't know how you do that. Maybe I could just file a piece of paper.
I didn't have to do that because when I got my first passport, we were already married.
Well, you didn't change your name.
Why not? I'm just saying. For me, at least.
Yeah, but
Well, my same thing with my wife. When my wife went to get a passport.
Gotcha. You were already married. Okay. So I haven't been out of the country since 2019. For a lot of people, it's the same, I'm sure. But we are hoping to, in 25, go outside the country. And yeah, so I will have to do it at some point. That just dawned on me. All right.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that they'll take, I don't know, that they'll take some other form of ID, but she said it couldn't be any of the pieces that I had. She said that I have to have the birth certificate. So that'll be a challenge. But many of you are now writing to me at A-Law Radio. So would love to hear if you've got any insight on how to now change every other important legal document and outlet that I have, credit cards, all that kind of stuff. But there's good news and there's bad news. The good news is I now have a license with my new legal last name, which, by the way, people have asked me this. I guess I don't really need to change it with the company because I'm not changing my name with the company. So there's one thing, but all the other stuff, banks and that type of thing, I feel like at some point I'm going to trip up, though, and I'm going to need... So I probably should keep my current license, well, previous license, right, just in case?
Yeah, good to have it, I would think.
I still have the original Social Security card, too, from when I was a baby, which it's laminated, and it's so old.
Yeah, I'm not... I'm probably going to need a new one of those at some point because... They actually say not to laminate it, I've heard.
Right, I know. She told me that. When I was at the administration office earlier in the year, she said to me, don't laminate this one.
Well, then what can we do with it? Because that's going to weather, and it already does. Is weathered in my wallet.
Maybe, so. Yeah, I was going to say maybe keep it in a little case.
Right.
But you're right. You're right about that. So if anyone has any insight about how to get this done, I really appreciate it. So yes, birth certificate, mom found it, along with the lock of hair. So maybe the lady at the DMV will be more inclined to work with me next time. But thank God I escaped without cursing or crying, because there was a lady that wasn't having it at the DMV on Wednesday. Seriously, it caused me to drink more. I'm like sticking my face into my bag. Like,
what
Lord, help me. Right. At first, she was accusing the lady behind the counter of lying to her. She started yelling about how the lady was lying to her. She told me I could do this. She told me I could do this. And then devolves into tears. And you should have seen the looks on the faces of the other people behind the counter, rolling their eyes, just shaking their heads. Can you imagine how many times a day that something like this happens? Because I think people walked into the DMV doors and instantly they're stressed. I mean, I was nervous just getting my stuff together.
I've seen the numbers, seen the boards and everything. No, yeah. Instant stress.
It is. Makes me want to break out in hives. But I'm proud to say I survived the DMV.
There should be a sticker for that.
Yeah. Funny that you say that, because I almost tweeted that. Forget the voting sticker.
That's right.
A sticker that says I survived the DMV.
Exactly.
Now, a little bit later on, you guys, there's been developments with the neighbor's light. That's all I'm going to say. I'll wait until Pete is ready to talk about there's good news and there's bad news.
This is a superior night for stories. And speaking of...
So the people can laugh at my crazy life.
Speaking of, on our After Hours Twitter, Twix... we have a poll. Are you a good news person first or a bad news person first?
Nice.
So we're getting the technical numbers on that.
That's everybody. We're getting the pulse of America. I'm going to retweet it. So at Amy After Hours or at A-Law Radio, are you a good news or bad news person first? This will be really interesting. We won't be able to gauge gender, but so far I'm the only one. We'll ask Marco, but see, I know Marco, and Marco's going to be a bad news person first. Right. I just know this.
I agree.
Marco constantly wears black of some sort, so he's
always waiting for the shoe to drop. Yep.
He always is. Yep. He refuses to accept good news even when it's staring him in the face. That's for sure. All right, on this edition of the show, Victor Wembanyama, he's must see, reaches a new plateau at, are you ready for this? 20 years and 314 days. He's a little bit like a Luka Doncic in that it seems like almost every time he steps on the court, he sets some type of a record or includes a first on his resume. But if you're talking about big men going off, we have to start with a different one, a former NBA, recent NBA MVP. But that would not be Joel Embiid, because guess what? He's back to load management again. Are you kidding me? He just returned, and now he needs a night off? Someone poke a fork in my eye. This story with the load management is driving me crazy. Also, and we'll start with this next, the Cleveland Cavaliers trying to begin the season on a 13-game winning streak. We are glad to have you with us. We're in transition between week 10 and week 11 of the NFL. We're going to play Mama Said Knock You Out. Well, it's not quite that. We're going to play... Right. I forgot that part. We're going to play Knockout on this edition of the show, which is kind of funny because when I tell my kiddos at church or when I've coached basketball in the past, do you want to play Knockout? It's a completely different thing, but it's their favorite game. So we're going to play Knockout on this edition of the show. And we'd love to hear from you. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Polls galore. Let's go. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Within three, Garland, top of the key, DG changes hands, comes down the lane and drives and scores with that right hand.
Tell you what, he is a game saver, isn't he?
Garland now with 25. He leads the Cavaliers. Under three to go, Mobley right side to LeVert. LeVert bounce in the left corner, Mitchell, three ball, bullseye!
I like it, Tim. How do you like that ball movement and that defense that denied Martin?
Huge shot from Donovan Mitchell. All-star shot from the Cavalier guard to make it 106-100 with 2:35 to go.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
On Cavaliers Radio, as the Cleveland basketball team, for the first time since LeBron James, trying to win 13 in a row. So it's not the first time the Cavaliers have ever rattled off 12 wins in a row going for 13, but it would be the first time without LeBron James on the roster. Actually was reading this and thought, wowzers, okay, I don't remember these. But of course, the Cavaliers had some incredible runs with LeBron, both the first and second time he was on the shores of Lake Erie. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So Donovan Mitchell coming off an incredible performance in their last game in which he was, well, he was the fulcrum, if you will. It's one of my new favorite words, one of my new favorite labels in sports, where everything revolves around him. And so Donovan, because of the fact that he can extend the floor, he can shoot from anywhere. Once he gets locked in, he can create shots off the dribble. Obviously, they can find him with the pass as well. And we saw this last night with Steph Curry. So the Mavericks and the Warriors, we went over that game extensively because of Klay Thompson's return to the Bay. But in the end, Steph Curry shed the emotion. He turned into that closer who has the killer instinct. And in the final couple minutes of this game between the Cavaliers and the Sixers, we saw the same thing from Mitchell.
Mitchell, sideline left against Caleb Martin. Mitchell pulls up, three ball. Bang! Donovan Mitchell. It's Donovan time. Two straight three balls. 109-102. Mitchell on that second bomb gives the Cavs a 7-point lead. Mitchell on the right side, steps left, three.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Get another one. Donovan Mitchell with three threes here in the fourth. He's got five in the game. 112-104. Cavaliers by eight. Oh, what a close by Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, a little page from Steph Curry's book. So a night after Steph finished with the final 12 points for the Warriors to get them past the Mavericks in the Bay Area, Donovan has the final 11 points of Cleveland's output against Philadelphia. Now, I give the Sixers all the credit in the world. They did not have Paul George. They did not have Joel Embiid. They still don't have Tyrese Maxey. But Donovan, for him to be that closer makes this team even more dangerous. The Sixers maybe shouldn't have been quite as much of a challenge, but it is the NBA, right? We're talking about catching teams on good nights versus bad nights. It's a war of attrition. You take into account travel and back-to-backs and all that jazz. And the Cavaliers right now, they're going to take everybody's best shot because they're the last undefeated.
Swings it right corner to Jackson, his three in air ball. Rebound Jared Allen, and the Cavaliers can dribble out the clock. How sweet for the Cavaliers, a baker's dozen. 13 in a row, Cavs win. Cavaliers win 114-106 here in Philly. The Cavaliers are now 13-0. To start this 24-25 season.
It's always fun when you're winning, but at the end of the day, it's the habits. You know, I think that's what's making us, you know, really proud, is the fact that we're winning these games, like doing it the right way. You know, habits, they are distracting me, bro. I swear. I'm sorry.
I don't even know what's going on behind me.
You know, what's happening behind me, but, you know, it's the habits. It's playing the right way. Everybody's getting touches, and that's what makes it special.
What's happening behind Donovan Mitchell on FanDuel Sports at Ohio is that people are trying to get their 30 seconds of fame. Also, he was so close. He was flirting with a triple-double. 23 points, 13 rebounds, 9 assists. Also had a couple of steals and a mea culpa afterward.
Cavs fans, I'm sorry. I should have put the game away early. That was a selfish moment. I ain't going to lie. That's on me. I haven't had one in my career. Almost lost just the game doing that. That's a selfish moment. Won't happen again. I apologize. I apologize to my teammates. Sorry, y'all. My bad.
That actually surprises me that Donovan hasn't had a triple-double in his career. So he did apologize again on FanDuel Sportsnet Ohio. And as much as you look at the players on the court and you recognize that the chemistry is there and these guys have got a really sweet formula, of course they're not going to go 82-0, but the new piece, the leadership, the voice is Kenny Atkinson, and that's significant because of his experience in the NBA.
I was really happy with us. We kept sharing the ball. Like, even though it wasn't going in, we kept making the right play, making the right pass. And then the beginning of that third quarter, I thought we came out and got some stops. I thought Isaac was huge. We picked up our pressure. We were just too passive in the first half.
So Kenny started his NBA coaching career with the Knicks as an assistant. And then, of course, had a head coaching gig with Brooklyn. And that goes back to 16-17, actually leading them on into the pandemic. And then ends up getting fired, if I remember this correctly, right before they went into the bubble, the Brooklyn Nets. And they promoted, who was it they promoted? Jacques Vaughn? Was that who they took them into the bubble?
If memory serves, again, without looking it up, I feel like Kenny Atkinson got shown the door after the Kevin Durant first year where he didn't play with the Achilles, and then they hired Steve Nash.
Oh, that's right. But then what happened in the bubble, though? I swear Jacques Vaughn was their leader in the bubble.
That could have been when Steve Nash got shown the door.
No, Nash was after that. Vaughn was just now.
He was the interim and then just got fired after last season.
Right, so. But I thought it was the second time that they'd brought him back. I'll have to look that up.
Possible. I'd have to go. The thing that I remember with Kenny Atkinson, he got shoved out after Kyrie was there, but Durant was hurt. And then Kyrie and Durant picked Steve Nash, and it was going to be a collaborative effort. No head coach. A collaborative effort.
I know. We made fun of that here on the show. Most recently, though, for Kenny was a stint on the bench with Steve Kerr as an assistant in Golden State. And so that's huge because it covers their time not only getting out of the bubble, getting Klay back, but winning that title against Boston in 22. So that's a huge deal. Sixth team in history to ever start a season 13-0. And that leadership and that experience that he brings, yes, the talented players, but what they needed was some type of a rudder. And Kenny Atkinson provides that. Daryl is listening in Houston. Welcome to After Hours, Daryl.
Hey, I was listening to your adventure.
My DMV adventure.
Yeah, the thing is, to get that birth certificate, you should go to the vital statistics office.
Huh.
You know, where they give the death certificates and stuff. They also have your birth certificate. And you can get maybe one copy for a certain price and additional copies for a lesser price.
I think I'd have to get it notarized or something if it's a copy. That's the point.
No. The vital statistics place will give it to you.
Oh, okay.
They give you an original and then a couple copies. And then also, for the good news, bad news thing.
Yes.
It don't matter with me, but I just want you to be straight and tell me what's up.
Okay.
I don't need no sugarcoating and stuff like that.
All right. Yeah. So you don't even need the qualification. Just go. Just start talking. Tell me what's going on.
Yeah, just tell me straight up what's going on.
All right. I like it. Thank you, Daryl. Good to talk to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like how he ends. So we're having this discussion, and producer Pete and my husband and Ryan have all been on the same page, and I think you're going to be with them in their category. Right now, I'm the lone holdout on my island. There are two kinds of people in this world, Marco. Are you a good news or bad news first person?
Give me the bad news.
See, I knew it. I knew Marco was going to say bad news first, just to get it over with. Might as well.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be fair. I'm usually just talk. I don't
oh,
do just
like
go.
Daryl in Houston.
Yeah, no, I would be the same way.
Don't
you
stall.
Want the good news or the best? Just tell me. Just what?
Let's go.
Yes. What? That would be my answer if somebody were to say that to me. That's honestly, that would be the first thing I would say.
Well, I'm a good news first person only because I feel like the good news will soften the blow of the bad news. But I can understand the perspective of get the bad news over with. It only goes up from there. You set the bar really low, and you only go up from there.
Again, all that makes sense. To me, at some point, I got to hear it. So just speak.
Just go.
So that would usually be my initial response.
Mm.
I was trying to be nice here. Mm-hmm. If you got me off the air, you want the good news or the bad news? I want you to speak. What do you need to tell me?
Just talk.
Yes, that would be my answer.
I missed you last night because I needed a little Italian reinforcement. No. It was after you were gone.
Am I a mirage?
You are.
I'm too big to not seen.
A figment of my imagination.
It makes no sense. I'm here.
I meant after you were gone. You're only here for the first half of the show. For people who don't know, a dirty little secret behind the scenes, Marco's on tape. So the man does not have to stay until 6 a.m. Eastern time. Well, not right now.
Oh.
Not part, right now.
Part of it. And it's not, let's not make it sound like I go home early.
No,
I'm here
I
for
said,
many, many, many,
no, no.
many hours
I did,
before.
Stop.
Many,
okay,
many,
I'm
going to
stab
many.
You with this pen. I did not say that you were out early. What I said was we don't make him stay past the midway point of our show. He's got other responsibilities too and a life. But also.
No, forget that part. Forget that part.
He rarely sleeps as it is. And so he needs to get his rear end out of here. But we were doing Ask Amy Anything a little while after you left. And I was asked about holiday traditions with my husband's family, who are Czech. So my family, half Polish, half Italian. Okay. So his family's Czech. So we've got like kind of the Eastern European thing going. But here's the funny part. This is where I needed you. They apparently have a new tradition in their home where they change the type of food every year. So last year, my first Christmas with my new fam, they decided they wanted to do Mexican. So we had, they're not Mexican. We had an entire Mexican spread. Everybody brought a Mexican dish for Christmas dinner. So it was a big day. It was all Mexican. This year, which cracks me up, it's Italian. And I'm laughing because I don't know if your family does the seven fishes. Do you guys do the Christmas Eve dinner?
Christmas Eve, yeah.
Yeah. So we do that in my family. Now, to be fair, when there's only four of us, we sometimes do five and not seven. But it is our tradition. As long as I can remember, we've not missed a Christmas Eve without trying to do the seven fishes. And so I think it's kind of funny because they're going to do an Italian dinner, which is likely going to be pasta, lasagna, meatballs. And
which, although in fairness, though, on Christmas Day could turn into that. It's
right.
Christmas Eve. And I'll be honest. I never heard about the number of fishes until I got older and everybody would tell me about it. And I was like, it's fish on Christmas Eve. I never heard about seven,
gotcha.
Five,
now
three.
You know.
Yeah,
seven,
I didn't know
five,
that.
Three.
I didn't know that. No, because I mean, like, I don't know. Maybe because. What can I tell you? My parents were born and raised there. Like, it was the idea. It was fish. It wasn't
gotcha.
The number of it or
okay.
what it was. It was just a question of fish.
So you guys do the fish.
It's
do you ever
all,
do seafood?
It's all fish. I don't know exactly. It's whoever is cooking for Christmas Eve.
Gotcha.
You don't make anything but fish.
Right.
What you make is your choice.
Okay.
You're hosting. You get to choose what the menu
nice.
Is. But it's all
That's
fish.
That's fun.
So you get to do whatever the hell you want to do. So it depends on where you are and who decides to cook what.
So we generally do a shrimp cocktail. We do a linguine with clam sauce as well as linguine with squid. We also do salmon. We do another type of fish, like a lemon sole we've done in the past, something like that. I love that. It's one of my favorite meals of the entire year. So it's kind of funny. I'll have to report back when we get to Christmas with my new in-laws, my other family, what they're going to do for their Italian celebration.
I'm pretty sure you're not going to get
ziti.
Baklava.
Yeah, right.
I don't, just a hunch. I don't think you're going to get the cold seafood salad.
I'm not going to tell them either because that would make me seem like I'm inserting, throwing my Italian weight around.
Tell them right when you're sitting down.
No. It'll be fun.
I don't know, because I feel like that's almost like, PhD level. Like, you're on the basics. Just stick to the basics.
Just stick to the lasagna.
Well, but I mean, like, you're going to an Italian dinner. Like, I don't know everybody's different traditions. So if you're just picking that type of food, then just stick to that. Stick to the basics.
I'm going
to
make Italian Christmas cookies, because, of course, there are a bunch of different Italian cookies that you can make for the holidays.
Which specifically, I'd have to say. I don't know which one. Sometimes I just, it's a cookie. Like, I didn't even realize what it is. I'll be fair. There's a lot of stuff that I'm kind of like, is that a tradition? I was unaware. I've seen it 100 times. I didn't realize that was part of.
Well, one of the things that I know, at least in my family, that we've made are the snowballs. Like, they've got the Italian shortbread and the
like the, just
snowballs.
The dough?
Well, no, they're the rolled in the powdered sugar, and they've got the nuts in them and whatever. The amaretti, you've heard of that? The amaretti. There's also like it's a spizzle or a biscotti is another one, but like it's a spizzle or a shoot. I'm sure I have the wrong name.
I don't know the name.
Yeah, so there's a bunch of different Italian cookies, like specifically. So that's what I'm going to be. Butter cookies are another like big thing for Italian.
A lot of honey implemented.
Pizzle. I think it's pizzle. Pizzle.
Someone pizzles or peas? So I'm not sure where you're going there.
No, it's a cookie. It's like a lattice cookie.
I don't know what that is.
Right.
A lattice cookie? That I'm aware.
Yeah, like a, you
I think
know.
For a second, I thought you said an Atlantis, like, you
no,
know,
no,
a more
no,
set cookie, and I was confused.
So this will be fun.
But apparently, I ought to know.
Doing Italian. Well, I mean, whatever. I would think that your parents would be familiar with Italian cookies.
Yeah,
I to them, also, they're just cookies.
No, but I mean, I was also trying to. I said an Alanis with the Morissette.
I got
you
it.
Know.
I see. I got it.
Bilotti got it. It was almost like a badoosh.
Oh, you got to know. Yeah, got you now. Whoopsie. Yes, a little slow on the uptake.
Just
Spumoni. I just looked up that word, could you, because I forgot that one.
Well, that's like ice cream.
It's all little different desserts.
Real quick, we were talking about the Nets coaching thing. On a quick side, Jock Vaughn was the coach technically twice.
See? I told you.
Okay, he did the interim in between both?
Tell me the progression, please.
So it was March 7th, 2020. I say that date because that was right before the bubble would have started. That's when Kenny Atkinson resigned.
Yeah, resigned.
And then.
Because he didn't want to go in the bubble? Remember Kyrie Irving wouldn't go in the bubble?
I think it was before.
That was way before. Yeah, the bubble was in the fall, wasn't it?
Yeah, that wound up being for the playoffs.
But the COVID really kicked in around after that.
Right.
So,
I think we were all sent home about 2 weeks later.
Right. Yeah. Right. Jacques Vaughn took over the rest of that season.
Okay.
And then Steve Nash took over the next season and lasted through 22. And then Jacques Vaughn replaced him in the middle of 22.
Yeah, there were two. He did a Steve Nash sandwich.
Right, and then he got an extension, and then he got let go, and then Ollie came in, and then here we are.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. All right, we've gotten to the bottom of that.
Boy,
all to thank you, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, and James Harden. Appreciate that dubious history in the Nets.
Collaborative
The Nets coaching tree. All right, coming up, Wemby and Giannis putting on shows, and we'll get to more of your calls, 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on Facebook, at Amy After Hours. Are you a good news or bad news first person? We've got a poll up, and here's our latest sports update with Marco Belletti.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
An AM sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, your furry friends with life, electronic device, and pet health insurance. Colts have once again turned back to Anthony Richardson, saying this time it's for the rest of the season. Joe Flacco goes back to the bench. Shane Steichen said he wanted Richardson to understand all the little things that go into being a starting quarterback in the NFL, with Richardson feeling better prepared.
You know, just so that I'm willing to be a pro, I'm willing to sacrifice anything that I need to do for the team. I feel like these past 2 weeks has definitely opened my eyes and allowed me to have the opportunity to do that and just take a deeper dive and look into myself and see what I'm really, you know, made of. So I'm thankful for these past 2 weeks, and I'm low-key glad they hope they have it.
NBA, a career first for Victor Wembanyama.
Paul gets a screen from Branham. To the left wing, Branham. Pounding out a right-hand dribble, looking for Wemby. He's got it high post against Corey Kispert. Pivots, faces up, long two. Shot is good for Victor Wembanyama. 50 points for Victor Wembanyama, a career high, as the Spurs lead it 115-98.
50 points for Wembanyama. Spurs outlast the Wizards 139-130. Call courtesy of the Spurs Radio Network. Rest of your scores, Cavs remain on fire. 13 straight to begin the season. Top the Sixers 114-106. Donovan Mitchell, 23 points, 13 rebounds, 9 assists. LeBron James continues to defy Father Time. 35 points as part of a triple-double lifted the Lakers by the Grizzlies 128-123. Bucks took out the Pistons 127-120 in overtime as Giannis Antetokounmpo poured in 59 with 14 rebounds and 7 assists. Bulls able to hold off the Knicks 124-123. Celtics dismissed the Nets 139-114. Jason Tatum 36, a rebound shy of a triple-double. Blazers got past the T-Wolves 106-98. Kings punished the Suns 127-104. Rockets handled the Clippers 111-103. Thunder rolled the Pelicans 106-88. The Magic took out the Pacers 94-90. College hoops, UConn dominated Lemoyne 90-49. Auburn ripped Kent State 79-56. Houston punished Louisiana 91-45. Tennessee thumped Montana 92-57. Creighton pounded Houston Christian 78-43. Arkansas smothered Troy 65-49. St. John's, they overpowered Wagner 66-45. In college football, Ohio routed Eastern Michigan 35-10. Northern Illinois raced Akron 29-16. And Miami of Ohio dominated Kent State 34-7. I'm Marco Belletti.
855-212-4227. That's the number to get in touch with us, the Infinity Sports Network. Give us a call, 855-212-4227. 4227.
He's got it now on the inbound with three to shoot. He pulls up from 17. Bullseye. Bucks by two. Ninth 50-point game for Giannis. His first since he scored 64 against the Pacers back on December 13th. A year ago. Giannis going the other way. He fires one up from three and he drilled it. Oh, baby. It's all going the Bucks' way here in overtime. The Greek Freak. 53 big ones on the board. And the Bucks start overtime on an 8-0 scoring run. Timeout Pistons. Inbound pass to Giannis. Giannis with 16 seconds to work with. Drives inside and stuffs it down with the right hand. 59 points now for Giannis. He's tapping his chest as he goes the other way saying, this is my house. This is my house.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The Bucks survived the Detroit Pistons, and what a performance from Giannis Antetokounmpo. 59 points, 14 rebounds, 7 assists, 3 block shots, 2 steals, and a partridge in a pear tree since we are getting close to the holiday season. A league high, by the way. No one said more than 59 so far this season. This portion of the show is sponsored by the new 2025 Hyundai Tucson Hybrid that has class-leading advanced safety features like the available blind spot view monitor to make your ride more enjoyable. At A-Law Radio, take our latest poll, good news or bad news first. I'll get that up on our Facebook page as soon as I can. Always sharing the most recent podcast link with you. And so you can bookmark it. You can subscribe so you never miss an episode of After Hours. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. A couple of other big performances on this Wednesday night. LeBron James, another triple-double. 30 points is the triple-double plateau, I guess you could call it, that he's reached 40 times in his career. So at least 30 points is what I'm saying. And he's done this 40 times. 35 points on this night, along with 14 assists and a dozen rebounds. And if you're wondering, he's the oldest ever to have three straight triple-doubles. Like I was talking about with Luka Doncic and Victor Wembanyama, who are likely to be the youngest to do this and that and this because of their extraordinary skill set and how long they've been playing basketball in their own countries. Well, for LeBron, he's going to be the oldest to do anything. It's like following Tom Brady in the final couple years of his career. Greg is in Michigan. Greg, what do you think about LeBron?
Oh, my God, Amy, Mr. Positive. Hey, real quick, your poll. Good news, bad news? I'm taking the bad news first. the good news last. Why? It gives you hope. For instance, real quick, Amy, let's say you were diagnosed with cancer, God forbid. Hey, Amy Lawrence, you've got cancer, but here's the good news. We're going to cut it out. You're going to have four chemo sessions, only four, and you're going to be as good as new. Mm. Trust me, it gives you hope. Now, here it is. LeBron, LeBreezy, the GOAT. Do you believe what we're seeing, Amy? Mr. Positive loves the GOAT. He is the GOAT. I mean, come on. Three games in a row, a triple-double, almost 40 years old. What are we looking at here? It's un-freaking-believable, my friend. What do you say?
It is. It is unbelievable. And the fact that LeBron, it's not so much the skill set, because I wouldn't expect that to diminish. It's the incredible shape that he remains in. He takes such good care of his body. It reminds me of a Derrick Henry, who I've heard spends thousands of dollars per week just to remain in the good shape with the nutrition and the fitness, obviously. We know that in the past, LeBron has worked out with a retired Navy SEAL. So his fitness regimen, in order to withstand the rigors of another season, is pretty awesome. And yeah, he doesn't look like he's lost a step at all. Thank you so much for your call, Greg from Michigan, Mr. Positive, who loves LeBreezy. I think I'll remember that. And I do appreciate what he says about the bad news first and then you move on to the hope. However, could you imagine if your doctor said to you, here's the good news, you only need four chemo treatments. The bad news is you have cancer. So in some cases, you have no choice which news to deliver first. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.